don't know if that didn't stir you up. If it didn't stir you up, come on, you need to come up here and just give your heart to Jesus or something. Come on. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, you know, just imagine, Jesus walks in the room, and he's in the room, and you're sitting there going, I didn't get anything. Come on. Well, come on, we got to be open to his spirit. Come on. Yeah, come on. He's good. He's good. Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, turn to, I've only got 10 minutes, but I'm going to take a lot longer. Isaiah 43. Because I believe, now listen to me, I believe this word is for you today. I pray all week and I ask God what to share, but it's not, I mean, it's for me, don't get me wrong. And when God spanks you through his word, he's been spanking me all week, so, you know, just deal with it, right? But he's here to encourage you today. He's here to touch you today. Hallelujah. I want you to know that God wants you to be restored to your vision. Come on, life gets in the way, and sometimes vision gets lost because we're looking at vision through our eyes and our circumstances, not in the light of our redemption. Now, before I get into this, before I start, I just need you to know that this prophet, Isaiah, could you turn that down just a little bit? Thank you. This prophet, Isaiah, he was in Israel. Now watch this. Israel had been in the land for 700 years at this point. God had brought them back to the land. They're in the land. They've been established in the land. They've seen God do things, not do things. But they weren't following God. Right? Some people, well, how did God do that? It's not that God did stuff to them. It was a result of their choices that brought them to the place where God said, justice has to be served. Did you know that the justice has to be served in the kingdom principles too? Sin has to be dealt with. Your sin has to be dealt with. My sin has to be dealt with. But I got good news for you. It has been. How is sin dealt with? There's a price that has to be paid for the crime that was committed. But you don't necessarily have to pay the price because Jesus paid it for you. Glory to God. Glory. But that shouldn't make us, well, man, I can do anything because Jesus already paid for it. That's ridiculous. There's no reverence in that. There's no honor in that. Yeah, God wants you to get saved and fear him. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear means reverence, but fear means reverence because of who he is. Come on, he's Almighty God. He's the one that rules the nations. Come on. Verse 1. I better get started. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name. You are mine. Amen. Interesting, the word redeemed here is in reference to the Kinsman Redeemer. And some of you don't know what that means, but if you've ever read the book of Ruth, that's what it's all about. That Boaz was Ruth's kinsman redeemer. Now look at this. Ruth was not even an Israelite. She was on the outside looking in. Any Gentiles in this group? Come on, non-Jews in this group? Some that were on the outside? Well, you have a kinsman redeemer. But what happened is when Naomi found out that Boaz was in the field, he said, wait a minute, I know the law. And the law says that he can be your kinsman redeemer. What does that mean? That he can take you to himself, and then everything that he possesses is now yours. But it has much more to do with that. It has to do with redeeming and restoring your land. It means that you can be free from slavery. Come on. Ruth and Naomi were destitute. They were just going out in the field after they'd harvested the field and getting the leftovers and bringing them home and surviving on that. But once the kinsman redeemer had touched them and brought them to his home, they ate at his table. Their days of lack were over. He says here, fear not. Come on. How many have to deal with fear from time to time? I don't have enough. I'm not enough. I'm, you know, whatever. My body's doing this. My body's doing that. The bank could come do this, whatever. He says, fear not. You know what that means? Don't fear. But don't fear just because you're grunting and you're groaning and you're doing it, right? Like the saying goes, fake it till you make it, right? No. Fear not for I. Everybody say I. I am with you. The Kinsman Redeemer is with you. The God of the universe, the God who put everything in place, is with you. But some of us, because we go through things, we think, where's he gone? Right? Where is he gone? And what we've lost is our vision of the Redeemer clouded by the circumstances. And God wants us to come back even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working, because you are the way maker, miracle worker. Come on. Promise keeper. Woo! I might start singing again. Anyway, but watch this. I have called you by your name, you are mine. The moment that you got born again, your name changed. Did you know that? Your name changed. You became under the name of Jesus. And he became your kinsman redeemer. He paid the price for everything. But not only that, he's your deliverer. He's your provider. He's your standby. Come on. But watch this. Let's read a little bit more. He says this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and nor the flames scorch you. They were about to be put into exile. Come on, watch this. And they were about to be absolutely tortured in some cases. But he said, don't worry, I'm with you. Well, what does this have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. What are you going through? What don't you like about your life right now? Get your eyes off of you and get them back onto him. Because even, he's never said, watch this, he never said, listen, as soon as you get saved, all your troubles will be over. Don't worry about it. But we get this idea that if things are not going exactly right, there's something wrong with me. Well, there might be. But no. But here's the point. He's made everything wrong about you right. Amen. If you come to the Kinsman Redeemer, he's going to be with you when you go through the river. He's going to be with you when you go through the fire. He's going to be with you no matter what. I know some of us are more mature than others. What I mean by that is we're old, right? And there's a dynamic that happens when you're old and you're younger. Younger people are going to go, I can't even relate to that. But I'm looking at you through 66-year-old eyes. Amen. But my mind still says I'm 20. Thank you for, you know, your encouragement and everything. But watch this. I still have to have eyes that see the same God who could do it when I was 20, do it again when I'm 60 or 70 or 80. Come on. I have to look through eyes that have vision that are inspired by the one who redeems me. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Ephesians. We're going to come back to Isaiah, but go to Ephesians for just a minute because I want you to see this in the New Testament. And you've read these verses before, but I want you to take it personally. Come on. I want you to take the word personally. What does that mean? You're the promise keeper. Even if I don't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, you're working. Because you're the promise keeper. Verse 5, it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God chose us before the foundation of the world, and all of us who made Jesus the Lord of our lives are adopted by him. Oh, I could go there for a long time. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. But we've been redeemed through his blood. In the Greek, redemption means deliverance. It means liberation. It means the release by payment of ransom. Come on. It means release. I may have been bound at one time, but there was a price that was paid that I was bound by, and I'm redeemed from that ransom. Come on. So I'm free. I'm liberated because of the vision. I might not feel liberated. I might still be, you know, walking in a land that isn't fully mine yet, but I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I've been brought out of darkness, and I'm not one who has to be in darkness. I don't have to act like I'm in darkness. I don't have to think I don't know what I'm going to do, because where he is, there's light. I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not leading to my own understanding, but in all my ways I'm acknowledging him, and he will direct my path. Whew. Glory to God. You know what? We're just passing through here anyway. Right? Get your eyes off of here. Compared to where I'm going to be a million years from now, I'm really young now. But we're going to be together a million years from now. So if you don't like me now, just get over it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because we're going to be around a long, long time. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, my people perish for a lack of vision. Again, what's vision? It's eyes to see. What's vision? It's eyes to see. It's eyes to see the future through a promise. Come on, we're going to go back to Isaiah 43, but it's eyes to see the future through a promise. Yeah, you might have to go through some things. Right? There may be something going on with you. But what's your future? What I'm preaching to you this morning will change your life if you let it. Or you can ignore it. No, seriously, we can just ignore it and go on. Or we could say, okay, Lord, I'm changing my focus. I've had my focus on me. I've had my focus on my circumstances. I've had my focus on my ability to get things done. And it's time for a focus change. Come on. God, do a laser vision switch with your word. Hallelujah. Isaiah 43. Verse 3 says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Come on, is He your God? Is He your God? When you're facing fear, when you're facing danger, when you're facing things, you have to speak more of your God than you do the circumstances that you're facing. Do you know fear is a mortal enemy to faith? And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's like, Lord, here's your Word, and I'm going to take your promise despite the circumstances that I'm facing. And fear is a big issue. But do you know that there's over 360 promises in the Word of God where it says, fear not, be not dismayed? Come on. But it's usually ended up with, because I'm here. You don't have to be afraid because I'm here. You have to look at a vision through faith instead of fear. But you have to do it on purpose. And when fear comes, I'm telling you, you have to speak to that mountain. You can't just go, well, I'm just going to read a little verse here. That's okay. I mean, that's good. That's better than nothing. But there's something about you standing in your authority and saying, no. It's really interesting because all of the promises of God that we see in the Old Testament didn't happen because God promised. They happened because God promised and somebody took him at his word and did what he said. Moses had to hit the water before it would part. Joshua had to blow the horns before the wall would fall down. Come on. So what I'm saying to you is that we have to do something with vision of who He is in mind, but it's not a passive thing. It's something that stirs us to say something. Fear, I'm talking to you right now. I refuse you because I have God on my side. In Isaiah 42, it's a verse that I've used so many times, and it brought us out of a complete thing that was going to devastate us. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be thou not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be nothing, as a non-existent thing. You'll look for them and not be able to find them, for I, the Lord your God, am with you, and I will hold your right hand. But while I was going through it, there were a lot of other voices that said, you're going down, you're going over, it's not going to work. If God was really with you, this would have never happened in the first place. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And we get there. And then we walk in guilt rather than in redemption. See, and God wants us to begin to walk in the light of our redemption instead of the guilt that's associated with the sin that's been dealt with. Glory to God. Glory to God. What's Isaiah 41, verses 10 through 13. But watch this. It's so important that we get a hold of that and take scriptures like The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You know, that's not for dead people.
Amen.
But we read it at funerals, and there's nothing wrong with reading it at funerals, don't get me wrong. But the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He shall lead me beside still waters. In the presence of my enemies, He'll put out a table, a spread for me. Because I'm going to sit and eat while they're fussing. Because my vision is not the circumstances that I'm in. My vision is the one who said He'd be with me. Come on. Woo. Now look, He's going to describe here in this. It's just amazing. Verse 8. And this is God talking to the people that were going into captivity. These people were going into captivity. So when, like, you're going into something that you may not like or comfortable, look at, He said, this is so good. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east. Come on, I hope this speaks to somebody. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And I'll say to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I don't care what your kids are doing. I don't care what the rascals are doing that you're praying for. Don't see them with what they're doing. See them through the vision of the promise. Come on. God's not through with me. And I'll just give you a little encouragement here. If God could get through to you, they're a piece of cake. Right? Come on. They're a piece of cake. So if you prayed for them, quit worrying about them. Because what's worry? It's just a symptom of fear. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Verse 8 says, bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring out their witness that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Do you believe that? Then why are you worried about, you know, the Muslims or the Hindus or the... Come on, we don't serve a lesser God, we serve the God. Right? Don't worry about them. Don't worry. God is God, and God will do what He said He will do, and God will restore. I just believe that even some people say, well, you know, God's got to judge America. I think He has in a way, but there's a lot of believers in America. Right? And the same God that will restore, if we'll pray through, if we'll believe, if we'll see America through the vision of what's been prophesied, God's still working. Shh. Come on. I see a revival happening. I see in my spirit. Come on. Come on. That other song that we said, man, let our worship bring revival. Let our worship turn into revival. Woo, glory to God. In your presence is so good. So good. Verse 12, I have declared and saved and have proclaimed that there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord God, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send you to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives, the Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. For your sakes, I'm taking you out of the promise and putting you into struggle. For your sake. Why? Because sometimes that's the only time that our hearts will go to where he wants them to go. When things are good, who needs God? Right? I mean, you say, oh, that's not me. It's been me. Right? And so sometimes, because I have to reap what I've sown, I have to, Lucy is one of Renita's favorite comedians of all time. And that look that she got when she got, that's how I feel sometimes. Right? But that doesn't mean that God's done with us or that he's over. Verse 15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, and who brings the chariot and the horse and the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like the wick. That's speaking of everything that's against you. Do not remember the former things. Consider the things of old. You see, we've talked about that in the last few weeks. We can't go on if we're looking back. Here, just an experiment for you to prove that this is true. When you leave here, on your way home, I want you to look in the mirror the whole time. right, come on, that's not going to work, right? I'll just tell you, don't do that. I'm just kidding, but you get the vision, right? Although there are some women who can put on makeup and talk on the phone but it's kind of like, come on, don't look at the past. Behold, verse 19, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. You shall not know it. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What's this saying? You're going to get into bondage, but look at, I'm going to make a way out. And you know the story where the king that they were in bondage to says, you know, I think we need to go restore Jerusalem. I heard the temple's busted down. You guys need to go back there and fix that. Amazing. That never happens. And look at, I mean, just, I really will quit. But watch this. Even Israel. If you don't have a picture of what God can do to restore you, look at the nation of Israel. Because they were not taken out of the land once, and God brought them back. They went out again, and they went to every place in the world. And God, in 1948, brought them back to the land. I'm telling you, that doesn't happen. Now watch this. He even did this. They spoke. They didn't speak Hebrew when they were in Russia or in Africa. They spoke whatever language where they were planted. But, and this never happens, a language that was basically lost, when they were restored to Israel, God used a man to restore the language. And that today in Israel, the ancient language of Hebrew is spoken because God restored them to their proper place. Now, they're not restored spiritually because they haven't seen their Messiah the way they are, but they're There are more Messianic Jews in Israel today than have ever been in the history of the world. So God is working. What am I saying? I'm saying it doesn't matter where you are right now. See yourself through the promise of where God told you you would be and begin to look at that. Don't consider the old things, but consider that this morning God can, will, and is doing a new thing. Come on. I've got to go on. Look at, he goes on, verse 24. It says, "Now you brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins, and you've wearied me with your iniquities." Oh boy. Oh boy. Sometimes we feel like that, right? Here's his response. I, your Redeemer, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember. That doesn't mean that I'll just, the memory of them that will be gone. What that means is the penalty that was associated with them will be forever taken away. So that when I go before God, if I died right now of a heart attack, which I'm not going to, but if I died of a heart attack right now, I'd be in the presence of God. And all the things that I see in me as lack would disappear. Why? Because he's already dealt with my weaknesses. He's already dealt with my shame. So we need to start seeing ourselves as the redeemed. Whew. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I'll just take it a step further. I think new believers should say, "I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb was shed for me. I plead the blood. Here's my case. I plead the blood." Devil says, "Oh yeah, but you know, you did this and you did this. I plead the blood." Come on. "Well, God can't bless you because you're not..." I plead the blood. Come on. I plead the blood. "Yeah, I should have been in ministry and I should have done this, but life's gotten to me and I've done all that and it's too late." I plead the blood. The blood brings a new thing every day. I plead the blood. Come on, I plead the blood. God, you know, the enemy says you can't do it. I plead the blood. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Come on, it's never too late. What God called me to, he knew where I'd be right now. And so if I'm still living, I'm still breathing, I can accomplish what God called me to because he knew the beginning from the end. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to know that today we serve a God who is for our future. And he doesn't want us lingering in our past to keep us from the vision that he has for us. Because he's the God who is with us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to back off. We don't have to back down. We have to look up and we have to rejoice and declare that our redemption is nigh. Our redemption is here. Our redemption is done. And in Jesus' name, we will do what God has called us to do. We will still see the captive delivered. We still will see the lost saved. We still will see the sick healed. We still will see God do a work and restore in us and through us the things that the enemy has stolen. I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up because it's not about me. It's about God using me to do something for his kingdom. And all of us, because the name of Jesus has been put on our lips and at our disposal, we can declare in Jesus' name what God desires will be. The hurt that the enemy has placed against me will be used by God to restore things in my life. And in Jesus' name, all things will work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose, because He's with me. He's with me. He's with me. He's for me. He's not against me. And in Jesus' name, I declare freedom in this house today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come on. How many receive that today? How many can grab a hold of that today? How many can speak to the fear in your life? How many can speak to the lack in your life? Today, right now, say lack no more, fear no more, doubt no more. Come on. I refuse to give in. I refuse to quit. I will not be defeated, and I refuse to quit in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all get something today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. If I could have the worship team come up, we're going to sing another song and worship as we go. But if you need... Oh, the communion. I forgot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm preaching myself up here. So if I could have some people come and hand out the elements, and I guess the kids need to come on upstairs. Hallelujah. Come on, while that's going, I'll just preach a little bit more. Come on, y'all don't mind. Thank you. Thank you. Liam, could I get a cup? We need one more person to help hand out. Okay, let me grab one. Jesus at the Last Supper, He said, this is the new covenant. And we in the Western world don't understand covenant. But some in our nation, they understand it very well. But to cut a covenant meant that you cut where the blood flows. Listen to this, because we're doing that today. We're remembering the covenant that God made between Himself. The covenant wasn't between God and us. The covenant was between God and Jesus. Come on. But in that, when we believe, it's our entrance into the benefits of the covenant. See, it's not my goodness that I'm receiving when I receive of the covenant. It's His goodness. It's His benefits. So again, the blood covenant was where the blood would flow. And oftentimes, they'd either cut the wrist or the palm of the hand, and they would shake hands. Right? Or they'd drop a drop of blood into a glass of wine, and they'd drink the wine. So if Ken and I were in covenant today, right? And we cut the palms of our hand and we did this. My blood is now His blood. So in my life goes into Him. His life goes into me. Now watch this. Depending on the contract of the covenant, in a lot of cases, whatever Ken has is now mine. Whatever I have is now his. His debts become my debts. We're not. My debts become His debts, right? Watch this. So when we're taking of this, thank you, Ken. When we're taking of this communion, we're remembering that Jesus paid the price for us. There's a scripture that comes to mind when we take this and we remember it, and oftentimes. There was a covenant meal. Sometimes they had a tree that was planted. So every time that somebody walked by the tree, they'd say, oh, the covenant. The covenant. The covenant. And watch this. Sometimes there was gifts that was exchanged. Right? And so if we were in a tribal situation and I had your spear, anybody that saw that spear would say, I better not mess with him. Right? Because the king who owned that spear is now in covenant with him. So what does that have to do with communion? Everything. When Jesus said, as often as you do this, remember me. Remember me. Remember what I've said. Watch this. But also remember what I've done. Come on. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on. Because of his blood, I've been redeemed. Because of his blood, fear has no place in me. Because of his blood, shame is taken care of. So when we take the elements, it said, by his stripes, I've been healed. So as we take the elements and we remember that, we need to take that promise. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm living in the vision of what Jesus promised. Right? So, in Hebrews, I'm not Hebrews, excuse me, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this. Paul's talking, he said, I received from the Lord that which was delivered to me, to you, that the Lord, it's all right, the Lord Jesus on the same night which he was betrayed took bread. And when given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat this. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we take the bread of your word and we thank you for every promise that's true. And we receive it to ourselves right now. And Lord, we're going to live in the light of your promise in Jesus' name. Go ahead, take the bread. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. Spirit, soul, and body, Lord, restored to the form that you created it to be. And said, after supper, he took the cup and saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Because of your blood, Lord, I am clean and right before you. If I have any sin, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive it. And Lord, I am mindful of the price that you paid that I could be right with you. So right now, as I take this, Lord, I want to be thankful, God, for the redemption that is mine in Jesus' name. Go ahead, take and drink. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We praise you. Open our eyes to see, God, what you've done. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Now, just a few more minutes. If you're here today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, you're here today and you say, man, I need my vision restored, or maybe I don't have vision because I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. Or maybe I made him the Lord of my life once, but I haven't been walking with him, and the Spirit of God has been speaking to me all morning that I need to do something. If that's you, it's really between you and God, but we're going to ask you to just raise your hand so that we can be in agreement with you. I need Jesus. And I need Jesus to come back into my life. I'm looking all over the room. Anybody, I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on. I just want more of Jesus. Come on. I just want more of you. I just want more of you. Hallelujah. Let's just say this all together. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to be real with you. Sometimes life gets in the way. And my priorities get messed up. So this morning, I'm coming to you humbly before you. I'm asking you, God, to forgive me and to help me with my priorities. I choose you, Jesus. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord. And God has just raised him from the dead. So am I raised in newness of life. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. If you're here and you'd like prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you. Glory to God. I know we've run a little bit late. Lila, do you want to do another song? Let's go worshiping the Lord, but go blessed today and start looking at life through Jesus. Amen?
I will sing of the goodness of God.